What's up, Disruptive Innovation Podcast? I'm Ashley Tajay.
Hey, everybody, it's Taj.
Hey, Disruptive Family, it's Nikki.
What's up, Nikki?
Hey, hey.
Oh my gosh, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute, but too long.
It has been too long. We've been needing to get in here.
Right. About to end the summer off, right?
Yes. And I'm going to talk about ending the summer. You know, this is my season.
I know, right? Right. And it's coming to an end now. But you know what? The fall is nice.
It is.
Pumpkin spice, everything, baby.
I'm just saying a little pumpkin spice, little Halloween, little scary movie.
No, fuck Halloween.
All right.
Nah, I like Halloween. I do. I like fall. Like, don't get me wrong. Right. I just know what's after fall. So it's hard sometimes to enjoy it.
It's brutal in New York. Oh, my God.
I mean, the way 2020 going now, the summer is about to be the worst. I mean, the winter is about to be the worst winter known to man. This has been a crazy year.
Are you serious? Damn, I didn't know that. I'm assuming.
Like, 2020 has been one of the weirdest, craziest
years
ever. So I don't think it's going to get better.
I think it is.
We just have to wait for the new year.
No, we're going to speak positivity on this day. We got 4 months left.
Girl, and we have a special guest today. Special guest, introduce yourself.
Hello. Hello, it's Terrence again.
What's up, Terrence? Hello, hello. I am back.
Yes, it's actually a returning guest, which is kind of cool. This is our very first guest that we ever had on the show.
Yes, our first guest.
Yes, it's dope to have the original crew back together. And we're actually going to kind of circle back around to one of the topics that we had touched on previously. So this should definitely be a fun episode.
Thank you for returning, T. We appreciate you.
Man, I appreciate being here. You know, it's a great podcast, and I'm just happy to be here.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
All right, so let's jump in.
Ashley, lead us off there.
So, there has been some crazy stuff going on in the Christian world, the Christian drama. The Christian drama has been making its way to the forefront of pop culture, which is just blowing my mind. But recently, Pastor John Gray has been caught the second time within a year cheating on his very intelligent, and I think she's dope, his dope wife. Like,
eventually. Say that. Intelligent. Yes. That's a big point. Very intelligent. I'm going to get into that, too.
Yes. She's, oh, my God. Like, I've been watching, I've seen the Breakfast Club interview that they did on, what else did I see? That was on YouTube. I seen another video on YouTube because, you know, once you search something on YouTube, then everything connected to that just pops up.
Yes.
So I seen an interview that they did on The Preachers, which was going to be a daytime TV show, but I guess it just didn't get picked up. Mm-hmm. But that was, what, 2016? I did see when he bought her that Lamborghini truck, mm-hmm. brand new. He was pulling it out the same time the rappers was pulling it out. He got it for her as a gift.
Mm-hmm. Stop
so
it.
I've been paying attention to them, and I really like her. Like, hearing her talk, her perspective on life, like, she's very smart, and I could understand why he would want to marry her. I could understand why he would make her his wife.
Okay.
But
he's a smart man too. Should not go there. Okay. He is smart.
Right. No, okay, right. That's fair.
Right. Yeah, right, Terrence, but.
You can be smart and make dumb decisions. Yeah, exactly.
You're right. So I'll give it to him. He is a stand-up guy as well. But his wife is a very stand-up. I'm not being one-sided. I'm just being honest. Like, when I heard her talk, I was low-key shocked. I was like, wow. Like, and then I like how I could see how she could be able to connect to the non-churchgoers.
Oh, okay.
Because she's very real, and she's not your typical pastor's wife.
Oh, first lady.
You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah, first lady. She got tattoos. She lit. Like, you understand what I'm saying? So I get it.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. So now I'm kind of developing just a sense of what her energy is like.
Yes.
And I think that's a big deal.
Yes.
I think I'm gonna have to Google her because I've never even seen her before.
You're gonna have to Google it, Terrence. I'm telling you, I might send you the link to the video so you can see what I'm talking about.
I'm telling you the truth.
Right.
You don't need to know for yourself.
But that's the second time, though. That's the second time that he's been caught sleeping with somebody in a congregation. Wait, when you are the head of the congregation.
Alleged.
Alleged.
I heard the
alleged.
Alleged.
All right, so
let's say alleged because it's we don't actually have video.
We don't have video of them doing anything, but we have video recordings from him. I also listened to the interview with the girl who was allegedly coming out and saying that this happened.
Okay.
And the information that she was giving, I don't think that is information that you would just put two and two together by looking at their Instagram page. Like, everything he was saying in the video, she said, and she's the one who put out the video. So she was saying all this before the video surfaced.
Hmm.
Was she psychic? Like,
no, no. No. Like,
so how do y'all feel about that?
I got some questions. So I'm kind of curious. I want to know everybody's reaction. I kind of want to see what everybody's reaction is first before I go into these questions, because I think I have some good ones. But what does that make you feel? Like, how do you feel about that? Tosh, Terrence, Ash?
I just feel like I don't. I'm just like, this pandemic has got people, it's seeing a different side of people, although we've heard that he's done this before or attempted to.
Yeah,
because
he actually
the initial time, he never actually committed the physical act. So I felt like, you know, he got a pardon, for lack of a better term. But this time it's like, wait, hold on now. Hold on.
So then, you know what? Let's dissect that then. So the first time, because since we know that this happened before.
Yes.
Now, the first time there were recordings of stuff that he had said in text messages, pictures of some text messages that he had sent to someone.
Okay.
But he told on himself before this person could talk about it. So what do you think about that? Before the second time. So the first time, him coming out at church in front of everyone and telling everyone the whole situation, but no one knew because the information was never leaked. It was leaked after he already made it a big situation, then the person leaked it. So like,
dang,
do you think that's like a guilty conscience or
no? Sometimes you just gotta I wouldn't say it was guilty. He probably told his wife, and they probably thought that was the best thing for them to do as relationally and as examples in the church, you know? I think that you being an example in the church is probably the determining factor of how you handle these entanglements.
Right.
You know? So the fact that he's a prominent figure in the church, you know, you got to tread water carefully, and then you got to kind of get ahead of stuff so that, you know, you throw your sin out there so that, you know, people can forgive you, and you show your humility before, you know, the scandal becomes, you know, something that Olivia Pope got to come in and help out with.
I understand that. I can see, you know, why you think that. But then let's talk about this then, right? So he spoke about the situation, and then he brought his wife on stage, and you know, she what she was saying at first, I was feeling it, but then I thought about it like, what? She was on some like, it is the 16-year-old boy who couldn't get girls, who had no game, where the girls was playing him. That's why he felt like he needed to associate himself with this woman. It wasn't him.
Okay.
Devil sending in somebody to ruin this relationship. And it was his 16-year-old self that he hasn't healed from that made him make this decision. What do y'all think about that? Because when I heard her say that, like, I was with her at first because she was like, you know, these people trying to ruin people's relationships. I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, and then she was like, oh, and you know, the devil, he working. And I was like, yeah, he is. But then when she's a 16-year-old boy, I was like, bro, I think he's 47, 48. Mm-hmm. We still on a 16-year-old boy? Like,
that can still happen.
It could still happen, but we not talking about like,
who, we talking who's about 47, 48?
Pastor,
yeah, right, 47, 48. So it's like,
No, no, I think he was in his 30s. I think he's like 38.
Oh, okay.
He's
definitely older.
Yeah, nah, I think he's like 38, 39.
Okay, so he's middle age.
But I mean, yeah.
He's like 47. He's like 47.
He's 47.
Is he really? Wow.
But look up his wife, though. I believe his wife was born, I think they're like 10 years apart or 8 years apart.
They don't provide an age for her.
Adventure.
She doesn't have a Wikipedia, but he's 47. So, I was about to say 47, because if he was in his 30s, I was going to say he looks bad.
That's terrible.
She thinks everybody looks bad.
That's crazy.
But getting back to the topic at hand.
Right.
My thing is, okay, I feel like the whole 16-year-old boy who was awkward around women didn't feel like he could land that girl or wasn't considered a popular young man to bag chicks. And so he has that thought in his mind. And you've never really had an opportunity to, for a lack of a better term, play the field. And then you grab a little bit of fame, or a lot of fame in this case, and then women just come out of the woodworks, because I feel like that's par for the course when you're famous, whether you're female and males are looking at you, or you're a male and females are looking at you. So I understand that whole part. The devil's always working, so I understand that. But I just felt like he didn't quite take accountability for his part in it. Women can try to throw themselves at you all the time, but does that mean you have to accept the bait? Because I'm pretty sure you're teaching your sheep that when temptation comes, you turn to the Lord, you flee the situation, you pray, you know what I mean? So it's like you weren't taking your own advice. Now, we all sin, we all fall short. And temptation is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't want to sound as if I'm judging him. But what I'm saying is, I just feel like, all right, the first time we're like, okay, man, this sucks, you know, but he came, shared it before it actually came out. All right, respect. Now, why is it happening again? Like, what haven't you learned from the first time that now you took it even a step further? So it's like, did you get the lesson? Obviously didn't, because you had to repeat it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I definitely feel you. So I think two things there for me personally. I'm all good with transparency. And if you're going to be transparent and actually walk out your healing process, you can't put a timestamp on that for anybody. So if you still have those insecurity issues or those patterns, if you will, are still embedded in you, and you're still acting out of those insecurity patterns that you have established from when you were a young boy, I think that's fair. My problem with it is what are you doing to address these patterns? And this is my problem with our system in the body of Christ. And I'm going to own it, because we all come from that system. We were really all raised there. And I think what we can kind of learn from it is, first of all, what are we taught? Where is authority? Once you are born again and you're saved, are you subject to the authority of sin? Yes or no? That's a real question.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Are you so connected to the authority?
Correct.
No.
Exactly. Now, when we were dead in our sin, we couldn't do anything about sinning or not. We didn't have the authority to overcome it. So you mean to tell me that we believe and a God that saves, and a God that has given us authority, but yet we're still blaming Satan? I'm sorry, I don't buy that. Now,
and that's how I feel. I agree 100%.
Agreed.
Do I believe that the enemy is constantly working against us? Absolutely. But I don't think the authority is there. I think the onus is on you to get your shit together and do your fucking work and stop blaming it on something and somebody else.
Exactly.
You got a problem? I'm cool with that. We can jack that. You got issues. We all do.
Yes.
Welcome to the club.
Yes.
But blaming Satan, like, I'm so over that. It's so ridiculous to me.
And that was the first time. Now.
That was the first
time. That was the first time.
And the first time, I'm going to add this in there too. The first time was with someone that Aventer knew that needed some help and they helped her. And then he ended up trying to mess with her. Aventer found out and he was sending voice, like, you know, the voice messages through text to this girl, like, listen, she seen the message. You know, I stepped out last night while she was asleep. I think she knows. I don't think she knows, but I left the room. Yep, and it's recording, and his voice is very clear, and we know his voice. So it's like, nigga, this ain't, this don't got nothing to do with the devil. This is you and your decision making that is terrible when it comes to your relationship.
So here's a very interesting thing I think you just brought up, and I wanted to get into this, but this is like a perfect segue.
Okay.
You said something pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
He was messing around the first time with his wife's homegirl. She needed help.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What I'm learning about male energy, and correct me if I'm wrong, Terrence, or anybody if you want. What's interesting to me is what I'm learning about men is that men typically need to be in positions where they feel like the man. They're going to frequent the place that makes them feel like the man or affirmed as the man in the situation. And it's interesting to me that you said, as you were describing his wife, she's extremely smart.
Yes.
She's extremely strong. Mm. I'm going to guess she's probably independent. So she probably has a very strong energy about her. If that said man, and Tasha, this is what you said.
Okay.
We go back to male versus man.
I'm telling you.
If said man has not developed himself enough for a developed woman, he is not going to be able to feel like the man in the scenarios. And he's going to seek out positions that give him that esteem. That's what I see happening.
Okay, Nick.
That's a fact.
Okay.
That's a fact.
You're present. You're present for the conversation.
I'm telling you.
Tell me about it, baby.
Oh, I'm loving this. I'm loving this.
Yeah.
So, I don't totally disagree with you, but I can't say that this is the case of that, because I think that he's proven himself to be a man in other areas. So it goes to show you, just because you show maturity and your overall aura doesn't mean that you don't have flaws, right? You don't have immaturities in other areas. So she may be this completely independent, great woman, great wife, great mother. But there's probably something that she lacked that he wasn't getting fulfilled from and caused him to do that. Not giving him excuses and not saying that is the reason, but that can be a determining factor for why some of the things happen, or it can remind him of his mom or something. I don't know. We don't know what it is. She could be too strong and then he'd be like, no, what? F it. Like, I need to chill out. Like, she's a little too much. So, you know, it can go a whole bunch of it, that opens up a whole nother realm of different things. So I don't know. I don't feel like necessarily it's it being too much, but I think that obviously there was something lacking, because he was talking about the cooking, you know. we get to the gritty of that, you know. It could be something as small as that. And that's why I think I don't like to use the example of the devil or made me do it or anything like that, but the devil is subtle. That's kind of, he'll use a little subtle things like, oh, you know, she don't cook, or she don't clean, she don't come out with me and do things with me. She don't do the things I'll enjoy doing. Like, it'd be something real subtle, like it ain't a big deal to us, but then it's really magnified in their relationship. So you know, I don't know. That the male and man thing, I think definitely contributes to it, and I agree wholeheartedly with it, but I can't say that's the total undeniable reason why people do things they do.
I don't think it's the total reason by any means at all whatsoever. I think that there can be many contributing factors, but I feel like what I've learned about people stepping out, really it comes down to two things from what I've learned.
Okay.
And when I peel back all the layers, you either have a set pattern, right? You have an unhealthy pattern that you have established. And to me, the people I put in that category are like your serial cheaters. No matter who they're with, no matter where they are in life, They have always stepped out on their significant other, point blank period. They're serial cheaters. That comes down to a pattern. I don't believe that the partner that they're with is going to influence whether they're cheating or not.
Okay.
That's pattern based.
Okay.
In my opinion. The other type of cheater is needs based. So I do think that it does come down to a point, right, where your core needs as a person are not being met. And you've tried to do what you do to get your core needs met. And then at some point in time, because it's a need, it's not a want, you're going to go search for those core needs. So I think this is kind of more of, when I talk about male versus man, it's really more so of a core need. Like you not having developed certain areas of your life to be able to manage your core needs in accordance with somebody who is equally as versed as you. I think equality ends up being a very big deal in relationship, especially the type of marriage relationship. Like when you're going, you know, one to another, it's not a friendship. You're not building a relationship up and down. It's not one of those. It's not a mentory relationship. I think that's why the Bible says to be equally yoked. And all this, like we always hear about equally yoked as just having the same faith. I don't believe that. I believe that there's way more sense in the Bible that we give God credit for.
I agree 100%.
And I think that it has to do with maturity levels, with needs, with knowing who you're with. Like there's an equality there. Because when you're not equal, then the burden is going to be sheltered by the other person. And I get it. Once you bring grace in, grace is supposed to cover that. But you're dealing with people, and I think, honestly, that only lasts for so long, to be quite honest with you.
That's true, though.
That's a fact.
So
but then, like, let's be fair, though. No, T, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So then, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it that we know that we're not going to receive 100% of everything that we could ever want and need, things that we don't even know that we need from our spouse? Are we expecting perfection in a marriage? And then when you see something that you don't like, and you've probably known it all along, but now it's to the point where you can't deal with it, it gives you permission to find it in someone else?
I think there's a difference between a core need and needing perfection. I think perfection is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think
that
from anyone. You know, I don't know. Here's the funny thing.
What?
I think as women, to be honest with you, we are way more flexible in relationships than I've actually seen men.
So
I'm going to go to our counterpart. Like I usually hear the men in the relationship, they're the ones complaining. She don't do this and she don't do that. And she's not this and she's not that. You're
now,
a woman?
It's like that now. It's like that now. I totally agree with that. However, we're living in a different generation of. I wouldn't say it's like woman power, but y'all have a certain aura of yourself that you have to be independent. I'm a strong black woman. I'm a strong woman. I'm this. I'm that. And it's a fight that we have. So they go, well, you can't handle me because I'm so strong. I'm so independent. You can't do it. You can't handle me. And it's not, I'm not trying to handle you. I'm not here to handle you. That's not my job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I think that mentality has misconstrued, because I'm supposed to care for you and take care of you. And you're supposed to care for me and take care of me. And the things that I lack in, you might be strong in. The things that you lack in, I may be strong in. And we're supposed to rub off each other. That's what the equally yoked thing, I believe, was supposed to do. Like, my weakness is your strength. Your strength is my weakness. And if we're both weak in the area, we lift each other up and we work through it, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're so strong and you know what, you can't handle me, then leave, nigga. Like, no, that's not what this is. This is a relationship. It's reciprocated love. Everything's supposed to be reciprocated. So I think the aura of the female dynamic in this generation now is making it a little difficult for guys to adjust, because we're already that, you know what I'm saying? We was already been, oh, I got to be a strong black man. But now women always been strong, and it's always been strong in the background. And that's where a lot of back in the day, you know, guys would step out and have whole separate families down the block.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll do this whole thing. But the women always been the strong, the pillar in the relationship. And we've known that just from our own lives. I know my mom was very, very strong. Mm-hmm. But she had areas where she was very, very weak. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was one of those things where you got to have the balance and the relationship. And when the guy can't handle that, and you see, like, she's too strong, quote unquote, then it's not that it's intimidating. It's like, why do I want to deal with that? If I can go and find, you know, Susie over here and she's doing this, why I got to stay here and get a headache because you want to be so headstrong? Like,
okay, pause.
Wait, because
pause right there. No, you know, because that's now? A really good point. That's a really, really good point. No, but that's exactly what I said, though. If you call, I said, you're going to go somewhere that is going to affirm your male energy so that in that scenario, you're going to be able to feel.
Well, I don't think it's a male energy. I wouldn't say it's a male energy. Like I said, I don't think it's like a machismo. Like I have to feel like I'm in and I'm above you or anything like that. It could like I said, it could be something real subtle. Like, yo, like I want a companion who I enjoy basketball. Like I want somebody who goes out and watches basketball games with me. And then my shorty like, nah, I ain't watching basketball. Like F that. Like it's boring. Why I want to do that? Nah, just come in and chill and do it. And all of a sudden you got the girl down the street who play ball and she do all the things that you want to do. And that becomes something that's attractive to you. It's not that you love your shorty any less or you feel some type of way. It's just little something subtle that you weren't getting a need met right from her. And then it becomes an issue. So for us, it's, I think you make us a little too deep. It's real service for dudes. Like it's really just what you see on the outside is usually what you get. And that's kind of why we end up falling because we see the big booty. We see the charisma of a female and then you fall for that. Gotcha. And that's usually what happens.
Man, I don't know. I'm going to kind of challenge you. And here we go with the strong head thing again. And it's funny because you posted something about this, about Black women. Do we feel, or what do you think about, are Black women taught to not need a man or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of goes to this conversation. I feel like, typically speaking, Black, brown women in communities of color usually have to navigate scenarios that make them either resourceful, independent, strong. So that adaptability is within. So that I think that's when you come up against that, that's what that is. It's because that's what life has given. And so that's what you grow in. But you also have a strength there. And I think, I'm not saying that the male energy is machismo. I'm not judging it like it's a bad thing. I think that is part of a core need and it's part of value. You need to feel valued in the scenarios that you are. And as a man, I think there's a particular way that men feel valued. Now, you wanting to spend time with somebody who has the same interests as you, I think that's a little bit of a different story, but yeah.
See, and I like that idea. And I understand that. Like, you want to be with somebody who has the same interests and the same likes as you. But I feel like if you like a sport and I don't like the sport and I don't want to watch it, if something that small can make you step out, then why are we together? It all is a sport. I just don't want to watch it. Now, what if I come in? Because, you know, I, not all women are like that, but I'm a compromise type of person. Like, let me come in halftime and watch the last two quarters when it start getting good. I don't want to see the game. So, I want to compromise. Or, like, if it's, you know, for me, like, I don't really care for it, but then, like, if certain, like, I love LeBron James. So, if the Lakers is playing, and I'm like, okay, I'll sit here and watch. But if he's not, I'm going to be like, I don't want to watch this. But I feel like that's something that we could compromise. I don't think we should step out.
Again, that's, I don't use that example as something that was like a blaring fact. Like this is, it was more of a subtlety. I was using something that can be so subtle and come in and sneak in. And then all of a sudden you're like, why did he sneak? Like a lot of the time, even when you see somebody cheating, they're cheating with somebody who isn't as strong or isn't as good looking or isn't as charismatic as the person that you're home with. Like, yo, you cheated, you left your wife for that? Like, that don't.
But
that,
they usually say that men cheat down. But they definitely say that men typically cheat down.
I agree, Nick. I feel like it's the men. When women usually cheat, it's like,
oh, when we cheat up. Yeah, like no, we totally cheat.
What? I don't know about that.
Like, what's that?
I don't know about that. I'm not gonna say that all men cheat up, but I think men, like I said, we're very physical beings, and it's kind of like when a woman cheats, it's emotions involved. It's a lot of other things that are involved. Where so they're gonna be you're going out, and you have the mentality like I'm gonna find somebody, and they go, you get the emotion in, or you get the conversation is great, and then that's how y'all end up falling. For a guy, it could just be like, yo, she got a fat ass, like. I'm horny. She got fat ass. I want to smash. And then you be like, after the dude do it, he be like, damn, why I do that? Like, I'm risking my family for that. Like, that shit don't make no sense. But if D's done already, you know what I'm saying? If D's done, you get caught out there. You know what I'm saying? She got some wop. Like, you don't know. Like, it's a.
But that's why we say women cheat better, because you doing it for the physical. So let's just say you might find what like the baddest chick. Body is banging, but she's an airhead. You understand what I'm saying?
Yours is a lot deeper.
Ours,
I wouldn't say it was up. I would say yours is just more intimate. Ours is like true. if you can go out there and you can just be like, yo, the dude down the street, like you met the dude off the corner, be like, yo, I just want to smash. Then that's nothing. Then you're gonna find some Joe Smo, like you're gonna find him attractive, whatever you find attractive in them, like whatever. But
this is my thing, right? Let's just say, right? Because if a man cheats and you just say, yo, I was attracted to her. But if a woman cheats and she say, man, he listens to me. He respects me. He goes out of his way to make sure I'm good. We have not had sex yet. And he's still been consistent. To me, that's still cheating up, even if the looks are not the same. If you messing with somebody who is like your equal and your whole, but then a man is messing with somebody just because she looked better, you didn't win. Now, yeah, you caught the body. Yeah, you possibly got the WAP, but that you done did, you possibly, you know, men will do that, and then you messed up your whole life for 5 minutes of a little fun, maybe 20. You understand what I'm saying?
I feel you.
You understand what I'm saying? But like a woman might do it, and it's like, we gonna go and look for the things that our men lack.
Right,
really stuff that niggas like. Y'all be going for just, yo, she cute, I want it.
So this, and it goes back to the point that Nikki was making, that sometimes, like, when you go, when a man is going out, it can be the same thing. Like, I think this is what happened with Pastor John Gray.
Okay.
Is that he was lacking something in his marriage that he was getting fulfillment from in another woman. It wasn't, I don't think that he actually cheated with the woman. I think that he got an emotional involvement, and he got some kind of attachment with him. I don't know. From what I read, I only read two articles. So they never said that he actually physically cheated with. Yeah.
Right.
So it was something that he was lacking. She didn't cook. Niggas eating DiGiorno every night. That joke get played out, B. Like, I don't want to eat this on every night either. But like, so that it's a little different. So most guys cheat, and it's just she came on to me, she was good looking, I did what I did. If they got the emotions involved, they're already gone from their relationship with that girl already. It's been done. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with females. When you got into that emotional relationship and you're getting your emotional needs met from somebody else, she's already gone. You might as well just let her go. Bro, it's over.
Yeah, that's real.
Got you.
I feel like typically, like, what will cause a woman to cheat more often than not is that emotional connection. Like, that's what we crave.
Mm-hmm.
I think with men, I mean, I don't know now. We have some savages out there. A lot of these ladies out here are catching bodies like they dudes.
Right.
So, it's
the tables are turning. Yeah, the tables are turning.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm down for that. I really truly am. I don't care how ignorant it sounds, because it goes back to us as women. I feel like we put up with so much shit we have for generations. Like, you talk about like your grandmother, your mom, this, that, and the third, and how it's always been women who hold down the families, but we've also been the most abused.
Yes.
Our keep it funky. Like, we've always been the most abused, and we are the backbone. And it's finally to where we're deconstructing the patriarchy that we've been raised with just in this country, period. Like, we now have options as women. We now can say, you know what? I don't have to totally abandon myself as a person. And my goal as a person doesn't have to be to sacrifice myself for my husband and my children. I can be a whole human and love me mm-hmm. and still be good to the people around me. And that's not really ever been there before.
Got you. Okay. I agree. I definitely agree. But now this is my question, right? So like when I heard like the pizza thing, I was like, all right, I get it. Like, no, I don't want DiGiorno pizza every night either. So I can understand the frustration, but why aren't these conversations being had before we get married? Like, what do you expect of me as your wife? And what a man asking a woman, what do you expect of me as the husband? Like, I think we shouldn't just go into the whole like gender roles. Like, I expect for you to cook every day.
Yeah.
Or if you do, you need to speak up and say that. I don't think it should be a situation of you just assuming that you don't want to eat the DiGiorno pizza. You know, niggas like to put up a front. Sometimes they might date somebody who's not that good at cooking, but you really like her and you don't want to make her feel bad. So you eat the food like, this is really good. Yeah. And then she just keeps making it. Why can't you just be honest from the beginning? I guarantee she's been doing the DiGiorno pizza from the start. The DiGiorno pizza ain't nothing new. And if it is something new, y'all relationship is so solid. Why can't you just tell her, like, listen, I don't want this every day. We could do this on movie night.
Yeah.
Friday,
so,
Saturday.
So.
And
so.
Come on, Terrence. Come on, Terrence.
Nah, it's not a thing. So yes, you should. I did in a perfect world, you want to have that conversation prior to coming to a relationship. Like, yo, this is what I expect. This is what I would like. But sometimes you don't even, if you're really growing, you're growing consistently, right? You don't know what you like. You don't know. You guys don't know what y'all like at all 90% of the time until it just happens. And you're like, okay, I want you to do this.
Same thing with us.
We don't. Go ahead.
Gotta argue with you though, because like, this is my thing, right? So, for instance, for me, I don't like taking out the garbage. I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's nice. I don't think it's for a woman. I don't like doing it. I'm not doing it. Even here, when I was younger, I lived with my mom. When she used to be like, take out the garbage. I would try to get my little boys, that was my friends, on my floor, like, yo, take this to the garbage for me. That's just not my thing. So, therefore, when I go into a relationship, I'm going to let my man know, especially we getting married, and now we're
right,
becoming
so
one. I'm letting him know, listen, I don't do garbage, but I can cook.
There's going to be something that you know that you, yeah, there's going to be clear cut things that you know, but there's going to be some things that you don't know. And that's the things that you got to, that's where the compromise, the conversations got to come in. So that's what I mean. Like, you don't know yourself. So I know for me, I don't like washing dishes.
Okay.
I load the dishwasher. I press the button. I do all that. But physically washing the dishes and sitting at the sink bothers me. Like, but I'm a super clean person, so I'm gonna load the dishwasher and make sure it's in there. But I just don't like. I feel like it's a waste of time. I'm wasting time and water where I could just have the machine do it for me, right? So that's my thing. So I'm like, yo, if we ain't gonna have a dishwasher, you're gonna have to handle the dishes. It is like that's kind of it is. I'm not gonna do them. I know me. I'm not gonna do them. But that was something that was I knew about myself. However, there was things that I come in here that I didn't know. I never had to live with a whole nother human being that I had to consider, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had my siblings, but I didn't have to consider my siblings. Like, I'm older. I was the male. I could tell a lot of people what to do. Like, that when you come into a relationship, you ain't a dictator. You can't just tell her, yo, you're going to go and do this. So yeah. I was like, all right, listen, I bang the laundry out. You know what I'm saying? I do these things. I know you know, that's not your forte. You don't like doing them. I have no problem doing it. So that's where the compromise and the conversation comes in. However, you know what I'm saying? Like you don't know all those things. It comes with development in that relationship. Okay. And for him, the cooking thing, I have no idea. Like, sometimes you could go on Google and it'll give you recipes. Like, you could follow some stuff. I think that if he had that issue, and I'm sure he brought it up to her, and maybe she had one of those moments where she was like, I do cook. And he's saying, no, you don't. Like, I cook the DiGiorno. That's cooking. I put it in the oven. That's cooking. Like, it could be something as simple as that. Or she could be, like I said, when you get that whole that aura of a female being so strong. Mm-hmm. Maybe she just got strong minded in there. It's like, yo, I don't gotta cook. I do this. I you know what I'm saying? If you and y'all brought it up before, not in the conversation, but could have hired a chef. Like it could have been any one of those things where you could came to a conclusion. You got jets and Lamborghinis and all that. Like
facts. I'm like, you got all this stuff and you can't.
You know what I'm saying?
You could hire a chef. Little 60,000.
You could. Word, you could have had a boiler coming up there and cooking up some rice and beans and platanos and all that. Right. Like it's other options.
And that's why, to me, on the outside looking in, to me, it's more than the pizza. Cooking.
Yeah,
it's more than the
Thank
pizza.
Thank you.
There's a greater underlying issue.
Yeah.
That we may not ever find out.
He's not getting fulfilled somewhere because he keeps stepping out. This wasn't the first time he stepped out. It wasn't because of food last time. It was from something else. Like he has something that's a void in him that it may not have anything to do with his wife. It's just something that's in him. Like that whole, like y'all was saying, the whole man versus male. He's still a boy when it comes to these particular things, which is weird because he's counseling on how to develop relationships, so you know the right thing.
Exactly.
But at the same time, in the Bible, it says that I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I teach that. I've said it plenty of times. You know what I'm saying? I tell these young dudes, I know the right thing to do, but I could be going home doing it. Yo, don't drink. Drinking is bad. Like, if you drink it too much, it's crazy. But I had drunk moments. I was in college. I went through that whole experience. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But like, you teach people based on what you know is the right thing, especially if you caring for that person, you're not going to want them to go down the same path that you went down, blah, 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 that whole dynamic. But it could literally be something as that. Like he
and
just,
my thing is though, is this, okay. Since he is a repeat offender in this situation, let's everyone take the situation and make it hypothetically, you in this situation.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Do you, if you find that your spouse is a repeat offender and he can't seem to get it together, are we riding this thing out or are we going to part ways and let's move on? Because I can't take the humiliation that I'm receiving off of your disrespect or for some shit you think that I'm not giving you, or you feel that I'm not giving you. You may have told me I don't feel the same way you do. So are we growing apart and is it enough to pull us back? Or do we just cut the deck and be like, you know what? We'll co-parent and we'll figure this shit out. But I don't want to be with a nigga who can't be faithful.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do? What would you do in this
situation? In this situation,
because you have children involved, it's easier. So I'm not gonna say it's easy, but it's easier to part ways with someone if you're not seeing that I don't have other little human beings involved. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have children in the mix, although it's horrible to stay, because I've done it. You stay in a relationship because you're saying it's for the sake of the kid. You don't want your child to grow up in a broken home because you grew up in a broken home, etc. So you do put up with a lot that you probably shouldn't just to save face. But then I
understand like what you're saying with that, like, all right, you don't, you know, grew up in a broken home, you don't want your kids to have that. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's like, then what are you teaching your kids by staying in that?
Right.
Now, granted, they're young, so I doubt that they see the stuff like, oh, your dad is cheating on your mom, especially with the COVID going on. They in the crib, you know, they don't see that.
Got you.
Ain't no kids at school to tell you that because you're not in school.
Yeah, but social media.
But yeah, but they're I guarantee young. They're not on social media like that. Okay. They probably on like kitty channels, YouTube and stuff like that, kitty stuff.
Okay.
But I feel like them being in the house and seeing that, like, what are you teaching them? Like, okay, daddy keeps stepping out on mommy. Mommy's not stepping out on daddy, but it's the devil. So I'm going to make this work because we're a unit and the devil sees what we have is so strong. But to me, it's not strong. The house is not being built with bricks. It's being built with like paper sticks. It's not solid. The foundation is not solid. The cement is still wet. It ain't dried yet.
Yeah.
But then I feel like that's where it goes into the whole the dynamic of the Christian relationship. Not doing nothing together until you get married. Why should we not do anything together until we get married? Now, I don't think that you should just be giving out everything for free, because why buy the cow if you get the milk free?
Yeah.
So I understand that. But then it goes into my thinking is like, I think, no, I don't really want to live with somebody before I marry them. But I do believe that if we're going to get married and live together, before we get married, I'm going to come over here, stay here for about a full week. We're going to live.
It's not enough time.
You said what?
It's not enough time. No. Yo, you don't see people's true colors to 90 days.
Listen to me.
90 days.
Listen. All right. 90 days. All right. So boom. 90. I wasn't going to say just 1 week and never do it again. I'm saying like do that consistently. Like, because if you got your own spot and then, you know, he got his own spot, what if we going to be staying together for a long period of time, then that's where it's like, oh, we might as well move in together. No. We ain't doing that. So I think you got to split it up. But I feel like that whole like not doing nothing, not kissing, not doing nothing, and then you get married and it's like, this is not what I wanted. But then it's like, you didn't really express that before because you ain't have no time. Now I'm talking about Aventer and John, because I watched their story and they were together for under a year. There's no way possible that they knew each other in under a year. The relationship was brand new. You still in the honeymoon phase at the end of the first year. Your first anniversary, you so hyped. We done made it a year. I'm so excited. You in the honeymoon phase. Right. You ain't really been through nothing for you to even know what it's going to be like. So I feel like that's where it goes into that whole dynamic. It's too soon. Which I can't say that the dynamic is screwed, because it does work for people who are like that.
It works for some.
Yeah. It does. But I feel like it doesn't work for people who are, one, not used to it, and then people who are not really like stuck in that religion aspect of Christianity. Some people are in it more for like the spiritual, not for so much the religion. But I feel like it should be deeper. Like, why? We need to be doing a little bit more than just having conversations before we get married. I want to know everything about you so I can know, is this the person I really want to spend the rest of my life with?
I think that's fair. Just telling you though, like, you know, you're in a relationship and you just say, you know, what was your childhood like? And do you get angry quickly?
Right.
Just surface questions. A nigga can tell you anything.
And they gonna take a story.
In the presence of someone for long stretches of time, seeing that person in high pressure situations, seeing that person in some shit where it's just like, I wonder how he's going to react.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Well, Cal, but that takes time.
It takes time.
Most people don't want to wait. You're talking time. Like, Nick, how appropriate of time do you think it would be for one person to say they really know a person and then want to spend the rest of their lives with that person?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm going to throw you probably a curveball on this one. It's not time-based to me.
Exactly. It's not.
Yeah, it's not. And I don't think there's any one way to do it or right way to do it. I've definitely seen multiple things and very different things work for multiple people.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think what it comes down to, for me, what I hear the underlying issue is, I think really, and one of the things that I wanted to get into, and this is a perfect segue into it, is how are we taught to do relationship? Is it sustainable? Are we building healthy relational flags? Are we building green flags? Or are we really building, like Ashley said, our foundation on red flags?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you call it a Christian foundation does not mean it has good relational principles. You can listen to Christian music and drive like an asshole and you're still going to get in a freaking, you know what I'm saying? Car accident. So I feel like that's what we do a lot of the times. For me, personally, I feel like we're taught, I think we misuse grace. And I think we're taught to try and be so Christ-like and so selfless that we really lose center of who we are. We don't know ourselves. Therefore, we don't know what we like. We don't know what we want. We don't know how to have proper relationship. I personally believe it comes down to we're taught to abandon ourselves. True. I'm clearly reading a book right now because it's coming all the way through.
Yep.
But that's something that I've been working through in my personal life, is not to abandon myself.
Yes.
Because I've seen people get with somebody and just know that they know that they know that that's the person for them. Yes. Because you know it for you. There's something to be said about that. You can know that within, I believe, 24 hours, or it could take you 2 years.
Yeah.
As long as what you're basing that on is what you know for you, I think you're going to be fine. And if it ends up not being fine, I think it's also easier to walk away because you know you made a decision that was right for you in that moment, and therefore you're okay with making a decision that's right for you in the next moment. I think it's important to stay with self. And we're taught to abandon self because self is flesh. And I don't believe that.
Yeah. That's a fact. Wow.
Okay. That's an interesting point. I don't disagree. I agree wholeheartedly. I think that the dynamic of the particularly a Christian relationship makes it so that, yes, grace gets taken advantage of, but that is the foundation of our faith, essentially. Like, so they go, oh yeah, you made a mistake. People make mistakes. You got to forgive them. But how many do you take before you?
That's what
you move on.
Exactly.
Like what is there? Is there a number? And then even in the Bible say, oh, this was 70 times 70. 70 like, right. You know, they got a whole bunch of answers for different scenarios of the Christian relationship. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't, it's a slippery slope to talk about the relationship because everybody's different. Sometimes it works for that person.
It'll
work for you, but it won't work for me. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta find your honesty and find your truth and then live in it.
Yeah.
Like they were saying, it's just, if you can live in your truth and you can be honest and you can be honest with the other person, it can work, even if it's something that's quick. But you can live a front for years and years and years. You can live 10 years without showing your true colors if you that good at manipulation or hiding it, you know what I'm saying? So
you're right, but then again, and this is why I say, I think we need to change the way we teach relationship, especially in the body of Christ, because it's evident to me, and this is no judgment, it's not a judgment on him, because honestly, I feel for him,
yeah,
but I
too.
Also feel for her.
Me too.
It's evident that he's not happy, and why are you continuously in a place to where you're not happy, but also to the point to where you are teaching other people, you're putting on such a big facade. It doesn't seem like you're working towards your truth and how to be genuine in that and to sit with that and to be in that space. It seems as if you're just progressing in your facade. So
that example kills everybody, man. When you have to be an example and you're a leader in front of people and you have to do that changes a lot of just different things. It'll stop you from doing particular things, but it also can make you miserable. Like you can't be yourself.
Yeah, clearly.
You know what I'm saying? You can't be yourself.
Clearly unfulfilled. Like it's clear as day.
Man, yeah, but hold on now, because you're saying that you know, you feel for him and you feel for her. And my heart goes out as well, but I feel like it doesn't, to me, when they're good. So I don't think it's, to me, I don't feel like he's miserable 100% of the time. If you guys can just track with me for a second,
mm-hmm.
I feel like he is happy most of the time. It's just when it's low, it's low. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think, because nobody's going to be happy all of the time.
But how do you know he's happy? How do you know that?
Well,
yeah, we don't.
Well, based on what we see when the drama's not in the picture.
But the thing is like, even what we're
seeing,
the media.
Yeah, you're seeing a glimpse. You're seeing the tip of the iceberg. You're not seeing the deep thing. He could be like that and at the pulpit, and then when he go home, he's completely miserable and hates his life.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
because you're an example. You got to show a particular thing. You got to preach the word. You got to say the right things. You can't make bad decisions because then you're going to lead other people down. And you know that. So you go, know what? I'm going to hide my thing and be this example of who it is, even if it caused me misery. And I saw, like, when y'all was talking earlier even about it, the strength of the female in the relationship and how, you know, the dynamics change a little bit. Yeah. My dad stayed in a toxic relationship for 20 years for the sake of his kids. And now I live now, like, yo, why'd you do that? Like, I ask him all the time, like, why? Like, it would have been better if you'd have been happy over here, because obviously you were miserable. You leave your packed bags. You'll leave me with this, my stepmom who hated me because y'all was toxic for the sake of you staying for my brothers. You know what I'm saying? Like, that didn't make them any better. It didn't make you any better. Who did it really help? And it's the same thing. So if you're in that thing and you're in a toxic relationship, who's it really helping? It's like, if you're not honesty and you're not being fulfilled and you're not happy yourself, who are you really hurting? You're hurting yourself, and then you're hurting the people that you're leading, your kids, your congregation, all those, because you're not being honest.
That's
so
true.
But then why can't you just be honest? Like, what do you all believe the reason is that he can't be, Pastor John Gray, be honest? Do you think it's finances? Do you think it's
the fear of failure? I think that it causes that the dynamic of the Christian people are supposed to be. Now, I know we're not supposed to be perfect, but we're supposed to be perfect, right? Supposed to be the shining example of, we're not part of the world, so we're not going to get divorced, and we're going to practice forgiveness. We're going to practice grace. So when you do something to me and it's shitty and it hurts, I just got to accept it, and we got to grow from it. No, if you hurt me, like, I can leave. It's okay. Like, it should be okay with that. Like, if we can't work this out, like, yeah, I'm not saying you get hurt, you should leave. But I'm saying, like, if you can't have a conversation, and this is obviously he's a repeat offender, like we keep saying.
Yes.
If you continuously hurt me, I shouldn't have to stay in this relationship. And I need to be able to be happy. But in the Christian realm, how many times have you hurt Christ? How many times has he forgiven you? That's kind of what it's beating our minds, and we go, all right, so I have to stay in this toxic, abusive relationship because I can just pray for him and God's going to heal him. Mm-hmm. God's going to do that. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Sometimes people don't ever change, and shit happens, and that's what it goes like. So, my stepmom, hope she'll never hear this, but she never changed. She's the person who she is. And she's always been miserable. She's very, you know, that tongue is crazy. Like, she'll curse you out, you know, to the bone, you know what I'm saying? And she said some very hurtful things to me that make me, like, that makes me stay away from that particular type of female. So it scarred me by my father actually staying with her. Now, it made me distrust women in that area because she stepped out on my father. It was all bad. But he thought he was doing it for the sake of us. You know what I'm saying? So again, it always goes back to, you want to be this example, and you're in this position of leadership, and you want to be the perfect couple. But if you're not honest with yourself, you're not really a perfect couple. You're actually a phony, a hypocrite, and you should get up out of there. Step out.
Right. Because you stay in a relationship, look weak. To me, that you staying in it, to me, makes you look like a failure. Like, my dad went through the same thing. Stayed in a relationship for 10 plus years. A toxic relationship. It a relationship. Me, girl, stop. But... you cut me off, but it wasn't with Tasha, but in a very toxic, like, degrading relationship, and me being the, you know, his daughter, seeing my father go through something like that, it made me look at him like, what? This is what you put up with? You understand what I'm saying? Then it makes me start to try to think of your logic and try to think of your thought process. And to me, when he left, that's when I was like, wow, like, my pops is strong. But when he was in that, it made me look at him like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to put myself through that. So you wouldn't want me to be put through that. So why would you do that and then give us that example? Mm-hmm. Are we going to make it work because, you know, we want to have the family unit? But the family unit is damaged. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then most times, not all kids grow up and be like, you know what? I'm a do different. I'm not going to be like that. Or sometimes we say that, but then we get into those same exact relationships. And you start to think, my mom did it. My dad did it. You know, that's how relationships are. Or, you know, my grandmother and my grandfather was married for 60 years. You telling me that they ain't go through something? That's not normal. Toxicity in relationships is not normal. Cheating is not normal. Being degraded and disrespected is not normal, and it's not what love is.
So who are you coming for?
Right? Okay. No, I'm not coming for nobody. But I feel like, you know, looking at, you know, Pastor Greg, looking at Adventer, it's like you constantly being in the tabloids for allegedly cheating, it already looked like it's a failed marriage.
Yeah, that's
because if you ain't out here doing nothing, you ain't gonna be in the tabloids. We don't care. You know that social media, especially the shade room, don't care when you're doing good.
Yeah.
You ain't in the media for doing good. You in the media for cheating.
Right.
Doing something.
You know, so I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the relationship is failed.
You have always like had a way about you. Like that's the one thing I feel like I'm gonna give props to your mom, obviously too, but like your mother has raised you in a way to where she's given you the foundation of Christ. And when I talk about the church and I talk about the system, please understand, I'm not talking about Christ. I'm talking about a man-made system where I believe they got relationship and Christ wrong, right? I don't believe Christ is in that. But your mom did a great job of giving you the foundation of relationship with Christ, but not being churched. Right. And I think those of us who are churched in this manner to this degree, there is a unlearning process. And because it's so ingrained in you for so long, you got to unlearn it. And it's not easy because, again, it goes back to established patterns. Like it's ingrained in you. I've had to stop and look at my own life and say, whoa, why do I believe this? How is it that I held on to this for so long? It doesn't serve me in any way, shape, or form. It's actually causing me harm. Who told me it's okay to constantly feel like I'm violated? Why is it that I have to feel like I have to put up with that? And this isn't any form of relationship. It doesn't just have to be in a marital one. But because of the way we are told to do relationships, so I think there's an unlearning that we have to do, and especially when kids are involved. Right. I agree. I'm now just learning, really learning, like outside of my head knowledge, into my heart knowledge to where, okay, I actually believe this and I can stand on this, that you are doing more harm to your kids. Because I think our job as parents is to show them how to be as an adult.
Yes.
So if they see you in these scenarios and you're in a relationship in a household that has no connection, is not happy, doesn't have love and joy, it doesn't even have to be toxic. You can just be unfulfilled and not be present. And that's not okay.
No. Yeah.
Those are not the patterns that you want to instill in your kids because they do see that. So it's an unlearning process, man.
And feel it. And they feel it too.
Yes. We
don't give kids the credit that they deserve. Their spirits are like, whoo, like that. They feel everything.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And also teaching them not to listen to their emotional content. So how do you trust yourself when you're older?
Exactly.
That's why a lot of us don't know how we feel, think, or who we are. We're never to trust our emotional content.
Yeah.
So that's a good point.
Yeah. That we can always say all day, every day, what we don't want. But we really, truly don't know what we do want.
Right.
Because we never had the opportunity, first of all, to be asked that and to be given the things that we want. And I feel like in no way should, if you have a family and you and your spouse aren't seeing eye to eye, that the first thing that happens, you just jump ship. No, I feel like you would want to at least give it a try to work out what's wrong in it to make it right. Try to see that thing through before you actually say, okay, I'm done. We can't do this anymore. Mm. But I feel like how long is that long? Like, how much are you supposed to put up with before you say, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm done.
I think that goes back to like your negotiables and your non-negotiables.
Oh, good one.
Like some things, like, okay, you can work through that. Like, to me, she made DiGiorno pizza every day. Y'all can work that out. Y'all can work that. That I don't think that that's something where it's like, oh, you gotta go. Now, if she been making DiGiorno pizza for 9-10 years and you keep telling her we gotta change it and she don't change it, then maybe, you know, maybe it's a problem, then go to therapy or something like that. So, but I feel like there's some things where it's just like, you're gonna leave because of that.
Yeah, that's why I feel the situation
is
deeper than that.
I gotta ask. It has to be deeper.
Go ahead, Nick.
No, I agree. I agree 110%. And I have to ask you, Terrence, because I, again, this goes back to like the men. I feel like y'all men have like. And I'm going to tell a story. Like, I'm going to do story time and I'm going to ask you to answer this because I've had this experience in my relationship. Okay. Well, I've had instances where I've been told I don't cook. Now, first of all, I sell food on the side. So I'm not even going to go into the factuality of it, but I can throw down. So I'm like, okay, I don't cook. That's fine. I'm going to start cooking. Then it went from I don't cook to all you cook is tacos. I'm like, okay. So after you go through that for a period of time, things begin not to change. What I did what any logical woman would do. I made fucking tacos every goddamn day of the week in different forms.
That was a very
and I plated
approach.
It. Okay,
that was a like, very okay. immature so, approach. Nikki went to her inner child on that.
No, so, I had to prove a point.
Nah, that's a fact. That's a fact.
Oh my god.
Right now, like, you got, I'm gonna show you what having tacos every day looks and feels right. like. Since what that's the reality you think that you're in. So here you go.
Right.
You know, obviously we've I moved forward. I'm not in that place in my life anymore. I've grown. But I, you know, I posed the question, why does it seem to be these very minuscule things happen to be blown up so much in a man's mind? And I'm even gonna put the sidebar on it. I'm not saying we don't understand that you want a partner. And we don't understand that there, again, we go back to that equity and equal value. You know, we as partners cook and we as partners clean and we alleviate and we do these things as service. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real dumb shit. I feel like it's blown so out of proportion and it's not by the women. It's that's by not, the men.
It's not. And Taryn, before you answer that, let me just add something to that. Just my thoughts. Because I want you to come for my thoughts because I feel like you're going to try and come for me, Terrence. In my opinion, I feel like you niggas start nitpicking on this little stuff because facts. You see something that you think, yo, the grass may be a little green on the other side. So I'm going to just start pissing her off and you know, attacking her just because I got a little sign on the hunt and I want to piss her off.
So that she can push me?
So she could just get rid of me. So she could just tell me, get out. And I could just leave and go do me. So you.
Oh, so manipulation.
Yeah, a little manipulation. Cause,
a little like, manipulation.
A little.
Okay.
It's a little bit. Because it's like, what you want? Like, what you, DiGiorno pizza, I guarantee you she probably made pizza Thursday, Friday, 1 week, the next week, Friday, and then the week after that, Friday, Saturday, this nigga's
like, exactly.
We eat pizza every yeah. single night. Like, what? Okay, it's no, a little that's variety. Exactly what it was. But, so what
they
is it?
They got home right? late. At like 9:30 at night, because they were at church all damn day, and she popped a little DiGiorno a couple times because she was serving the congregation.
Exactly.
That shit was blown out of proportion.
Right. That's a fact.
You have
that. Yeah, crazy. So to speak on the manipulation part, I think that yes, it could be that, but it's not that in every situation. However, I will say for guys, for men, now, I'm not going to say the whole male men thing because like just for men in general, when you get to the point where you're nitpicking, it was something that was an issue that was already, and they just didn't express it or they felt they expressed it and it got ignored or just got bypassed. Right. So then it becomes, yo, you do this every day and you'd be like, what? Yeah, my face. I don't do that every day. What are you talking about? But it was something that either we didn't communicate correctly, or we felt we did communicate it and it got ignored, or something in that nature where your voice wasn't being heard. So now I got to resort to this type of communication because it's the only way you hear me. Yo, you do this every night. You know what I'm saying? Or they just don't know how to communicate. Period. That's what it comes down to. Sometimes that guys don't know how to do that.
Gotcha.
And then it comes to the nitpicking because you kept it bottled up for so long that now it's just overflowing out. And then it comes to, yo, I'm tired of eating pizza. I'm tired of eating Italian every night. So it couldn't have even been pizza. It could have been, yo, she made spaghetti this night, and then she made baked ziti this night, and then she made, you know, and then you have pizza. And then he was like, I eat pizza every day. No, nigga, that wasn't pizza. That was spaghetti, kid. Like, you had Italian every night. Maybe it was something like that, but it could have been something as simple as that. Or, you know, as far as the tacos, you made rice and beans one night, you have some fajitas another night, and then you made tacos again. Like, you could have been cooking tacos every night. Like, that's what he's seeing.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but like, when they're nitpicking, and I wouldn't say it's always a manipulation thing, and they got somebody on the side trying to do that, because I know I've nitpicked before, and I think everybody nitpicks, female and male alike. Like, y'all nitpick out just different things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a human flaw where we get to that point by the person not hearing what you're trying to say to them.
Gotcha.
And then you end up reacting the way you did. And then it comes off as nitpicking, because I said this over and over and over again and you didn't get it. So now I'm going to say it direct. And then now you hear me keep saying it over and over again, because I've been saying it before for the last 10 years that you've been cooking these DiGiorno pizzas and you ain't hear me. Now you hear me now, because it's coming out in the public.
And then what he did, what made it worse, was brought the son into it. What you eat every night? Pizza? Like, now you don't know.
You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know he told him to say that. You're right.
Then she probably do always make pizza. But I just felt like that's where, like, the immaturity comes into. Why leave the kids out of it?
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, they're the level of maturity stops at some point, and then we revert back to that kid, our inner child, whatever the fuck you want to call it, where we just don't take responsibility, or we don't want to be the adult.
Right.
We want to be our younger selves.
Right. So then a question to you, Terrence, right? If you were Pastor John Gray, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were like a venter, so you were not saying anything, you just, you know, happy, you think everything is solid, but then a venter's your wife, and a venter posts a video like, this nigga don't do nothing. He's so messy. He get on my nerves. You see this? Look, ask my son. Yo, what your dad do when he come home from work? He leave his shoes in front of the door all the time. This nigga so messy. He get on my nerves. And then you see her making another video saying, so listen, I'm going to order the maid service. I'm going to have them come through to your crib. She going to clean everything up. And da 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 da. How do you feel about that? Well, I feel like we always put it on the women, but it's like, how would you react if your wife was doing that to you? Because I guarantee you wouldn't be feeling the same way.
If I were a boy.
Oh, same.
Well, well, you know, we have double standards. So let's throw that right out. We can't handle the things that men can't handle, the things that females can handle. Mm. It's just a proven fact. We cannot do that. You could be talking to a dude and it's the same thing as cheating us. Like, we like all the pictures on Instagram and all the social media and all that. Let a girl do that and then you see it. Our jealousy is a whole different level of jealousy.
That is so true.
We can't handle it. So I'm not even going to answer that question, because that's going to, it's a whole nother deeper dimension to that. Like,
but you answered it without answering it.
No, you did. Change that. Like, we need to be protected. Like, what happened to protecting women? Like, ugh, it bothers me so much that I don't know. Like, it sends a message that we're disposable.
Right.
So, it really does. And especially within our communities. Yeah. Like, this is a very big deal. Like, we're not protected. We're always the ones that have to take the most of everything and give our last. And we're not fucking protected. It is so maddening.
I disagree.
What do you mean?
Okay. I disagree with that. I don't think that you're not protected. It's a whole different dynamic of individuals out there now, who the roles are reversed, and they're going out and like there's really good fathers out there who, I actually just put a post about that too. Like, for this whole time, you thinking that your father was a deadbeat dad, and in actuality, it was a bitter mom that was behind the whole situation. So you hated your dad all this life, only to find out when you were 18 that your mom was keeping you away from your father, right?
Now that is very true.
But it goes to show you, it's just relationships. Like, when somebody can't handle being in a relationship, they want a person or they don't know how to handle themselves in the relationship, then it gets toxic, and then it goes the way it does. And it could not even be an immaturity thing. It could just be simply, you know, the 80-20 rule. Like, I got 20% here, and I like what I like over here, and then the 80% at home isn't enough to fulfill me. I'm going to get that 20%, and then, you know, they regret it. They always regret it in the end.
Oh, yeah.
But, definitely. You know, that's how it always ends up.
I'm not really talking about those types of scenarios. I agree with you. Like, I definitely think, are there bitter women? Are there women who are in the wrong? It's not necessarily that I disagree with any of that. And there are exceptions to the rule. But as we identify and talk about the majority, which we just did, it was a blanketed statement. One, boom, there's double standards. Mm-hmm. Typically, the double standard usually is in favor of the man in most scenarios. Again, there's always an exception to the rule, right? Like, we can be more vulnerable, and that's a double standard. Men aren't really allowed to be emotional.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's healthy. But as we acknowledge that there are double standards and that men as a whole cannot take freaking part of what women go through, that's acknowledging the fact that we are actually put through things on a higher level or more of a degree than y'all are.
Yeah.
More often than not. I'm talking about the majority. I'm not talking about your one-offs.
Yeah.
So in that regard, like, we just already established that. Can't double back over it.
Got you. Agreed. And that's why we're so strong. That's why we're so independent.
Yeah.
We had to be.
That's it right there.
Yep. Had to. It's because we couldn't depend on our counterparts.
No.
To do it for us.
No, I think that that is definitely a factor, but I think, again, like that post I said before, is that you're raised with the mentality that you have to be that way. Like, you weren't given a chance for the guy. The guy didn't have a chance before he even got into the relationship, because you were trained from the beginning. This is what you need to be. You need to have this strength in you so that you don't get hurt. It's a protective mechanism that you were taught from the time you were a child. So when you get into the relationship and then you see something that reminds you of a hurt, oh, now I'm super strong and I have to be in that and stick this out. And guys aren't taught that. We were taught, you know what I'm saying, like, suck it up. Like, don't show your emotion. Don't do this. Don't do that. Like, you're not going to, your emotion. Now, the new age light-skinned dudes, you know what I'm saying, that. So another, the Drakes. I commend them, because I wish sometimes that I can be in tune with my inner emotion, but like I don't. I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised to express myself. It was, yo, why are you crying? Stop crying. Like,
that's
that, right. It's strength in not crying. That's what we were taught. You were taught, listen, you protect yourself. And I do it to my daughter now. I tell her, like, you know, you're strong. Like, don't let somebody hurt your feelings. Like, you're stronger than that. Like, it's always going to be those lessons that you were taught from a kid, and that's how we were bred, and that's how it is. And that's in the Spanish household, the matriarchs are the dominant figures in the house. That's how it goes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all these things are something that was just brought up from your generations, and that's how you react. You're reacting out of that now, and now the generation now got the, you know, the Cardi B's. Where they were like, no, we're gonna reverse this, because I'm not gonna be in this anymore. So make that dude beg, you know what I'm saying, and appreciate you. But then I don't gotta do this either. Like, I'm not gonna stand and be at home wife cooking, cleaning, doing this thing. So the whole dynamic is changing, and now everybody's trying to figure it out again. So everybody's confused as to what it is. Yeah. What am I actually supposed to be doing? What is my actual role in a relationship? Because if you're super strong, you got your own money and doing your own thing over here, like, what is actually my role as a man now? What is my role as a man? What that I'll pose that question to y'all.
I literally just said that, though. Like, I'm so glad you brought that back. I couldn't have scripted it any better. That's how I started this conversation.
Got you.
You literally just wrapped right back around to what I said about that man energy. Yeah. If you can do X, Y, and Z and this, that, and the third without me, where is my place?
Right.
It's an innate thing inside of you. It's instinctual for you to want to feel like the man in the relationship. And it's not, I'm not saying it's mishandled. I'm not saying it's being like you're exerting yourself over somebody in a manner that's not proper. Mm-hmm. I think it can be mishandled, but I think the desire and that nature in itself is not a bad thing. I think the question that you just posed is one of the most important questions. What do I do with this? Right. And I think it's super important when we look at our communities and say, okay, you have a woman that's, like you said, been taught since she was young to survive. Yes. Like, and I think as accountability, we need to be able to take the traits that we've developed mm-hmm. and not let it work against us.
Yes.
So you should be able to be resourceful and be able to be independent, but grow in your strengths, don't grow in your hurt. It shouldn't be used as a wall to keep people out.
So when I was saying role as a man, I was talking both ways. Like, what is your role as a female? What is my role as a man? Like, the dynamic has changed so much that there is no set rules before. I don't know okay, now, because so, I can't say like it's, you said the whole taking out the trash thing, like you don't like taking out the trash, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's always been a male thing, but I know plenty of females take out the trash. You know what I'm saying? So now if you look at that relationship, do you go, oh my gosh, her husband's letting her take out the trash? Like, nah, it's like,
no,
she ain't taking out the trash, take the trash out.
See, and
I clean the dishes, clean the dishes.
But we're saying the same thing in that sense. Like, I'm not talking about the little tiny things that you do where we had before, that those little stupid physical things would make somebody's role, would constitute a man's role versus a woman's role. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about at the core. At the core, it doesn't change. We may change what it looks like on the outside, but at the core, it doesn't change. Yeah, right. At the end of the day, at the core, it's the same thing. We're learning. I think what we're finally doing now is learning how to deal with the core, right? Everything else was a symptom of that and what we thought would fix it. Now we're actually learning how to deal with that core. So you have a generation, the generation prior, it was very patriarchal and things were done this way. And women were in the background. Now the pendulum has swung. We got the Cardi B's and we're doing this and we're doing that. Mm-hmm. We are figuring out how to get to that core.
Yeah.
We're going left and we're going right. And eventually we're going to go inside the center and deal with the core.
Right.
It doesn't change.
Right. That's fact.
I can't argue that. I just gotta figure it out. Yes. I think like right now we're in a lost generation where nobody knows how to be themselves. They don't even know who they are themselves. People are trying to be who they see on social media. You put up this whole front of who you are, and in reality, you're not even that. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, if male and female alike, like, I found this to be something that I'm just going to bring this out there now. Like, my sister, I find she's one of the most beautiful people I've ever met, right? Mm-hmm. But she has so many insecurities by herself, and I can't understand why she has them. Uh-huh. But it's just, when you have those insecurities and you breed them, and then you have, maybe you have somebody who tells you something that, you know, you call it an abuse, but they say, oh, yeah, you didn't do your hair today. And they always have their hair on point all the time. And then somebody said, you didn't do your hair. And now all of a sudden you go into this whole, you blow that up, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's the same thing as the insecurity. You don't even know how to identify yourself because you already believe something about yourself, or you're comparing yourself to somebody mm-hmm. else completely that you don't even know who you are anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it goes even for a guy, it's the same thing. Like, we don't know who we are. Are you a Christian man? Are you a man where you working with your hands and doing all that? Like, oh, you don't know how to build a house, you're not a real man. Like, that doesn't identify us anymore. That's how it was back in the day, though. Mm. And if you didn't know how to work a tool, then you weren't considered a man. If you were on a computer, like, look at that sissy over there on that computer. But now that computer dude's making millions of dollars, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I think we're in an identity crisis.
Yeah,
essentially, and then that's what causes the relationships to be in turmoil the way they are.
it's confusing because you see so many different, you know, so many different ways of how you can be and who you can be and how strong you can be and this, that, and the third, that we don't know our true place. Like, but I think everybody just wants to be understood.
Yeah, totally.
They don't fully understand themselves. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants companionship. You know, you could say all day, I mean, even the hardest, most thuggest type of nigga needs love. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, we just want that. And then when you don't get it, or you've been hurt, you just haven't found that right person.
Yeah.
Or that person just doesn't know how to give it to you because it's never been given to them. It's just, and then the cycle continues.
Yeah.
It just continues.
But that's why I feel like when Nikki was saying, like, doing the inner work.
Yes.
You understand? Because if you do the work on yourself first, mm-hmm. you're going to know what to put up with and what not to put up with.
That's true.
You're going to understand the difference between, this is not love, this is lust.
Yeah,
you understand. You're gonna understand the difference when you really know yourself. So I think that that's definitely a thing that everybody can do in the world. Like, just understand yourself. Know what you like. Know what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and be okay with telling somebody, I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, like trying to sell yourself to anybody. There's no need for that.
Yeah, that's true.
Or
that is
really. I definitely hear you. I think. The question you ask is how does a bit, like, you know, how do we, you're doing all these things, how do you be a man? And on the flip side, how do you be a woman? Like, you got to show up for yourself first. But, you know, if I know that, let's say my partner is a man and he needs to be seen in this type of way, he needs to feel valued as a man, I need to allow him in certain scenarios to feel that way. And the same thing as a woman, you know what I mean? We like, I can't speak for every woman, but, you know, typically we like to be, we also like to be valued. You know, we like to be adored, and we need the emotion and the affection. So you have to consciously show up for us in those ways. And I think if we can get to those things, that's when we begin to do the actual work of looking at what relationship looks like. Those are the green flags that we should be teaching in the church, not completely abandoning oneself. So you don't know yourself. You don't know how to deal with yourself in relationship, and therefore you don't know how to deal with other people. I don't think that helps anybody.
No, it does not.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah, I was just saying that the Christian relationship, the whole dynamic of it was contextual based on the age that it was written in.
That's a good point.
Now it's not that way anymore. So you gotta, I mean, you obviously learn a lot of things from your past, but you gotta take things and readjust them and get a different perspective on how it is, because that how it worked then isn't how it's going to work now. And you gotta take it for face value as that. So the way the church is projecting it now is stay in it and doing it. But now you actually, I can't even say that's true now, because you're seeing a lot of pastors get divorced and they're not looking at it. Before you got divorced, it was like, oh my God, this person, what did he do? Like, he's a sinner, he got to get out of pulpit. Nah, they getting divorced. You'll see them out there dating and they're having a good time and all that now. Like, and it's like, oh my God, he's living his best life. She's living her best life.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Like, I'm happy for them.
Yes.
So it is changing, but you still have that mode where you have to stay together and you have to fight no matter what. Like,
yes.
You know, cheating on you, so what? Like, deal with it. You'll figure it out together, and you guys forgive and forget, like, or forgive and don't forget.
Gotcha.
however you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But you I think the mold is being broken. It just isn't there yet.
Yeah, I agree. We're inching our way towards honesty. You know, is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me, like, when we talk about relationship, and even in relationship in the church, we really discount how Christ loves us, and that's right. How we're supposed to love ourselves,
right?
Period. And we literally, like, we talk about it, it's like spoken of, but it's never really delved into, which is so interesting to me, because I think if we had more of a holding and a fastening on that.
So you being where you are now, what advice what relationship advice would you give your teenage self if you could go back? Like, what would you tell your teenage self to do moving forward with all the stuff that you know now? I'll go first.
Yeah,
I'm gonna write mine down. So I would tell myself to make your own definition of what love looks like to you.
Don't pay attention
to the relationships around you. Don't idolize anybody else's relationship. You know, you got to do what's best for you, not what's best for everyone else. So that's the advice that I would give myself when it comes to relationships.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was
good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm mad that you already knew yours, and so now we gotta think about it.
I'm sorry.
Now,
What would I tell teenage Terrence?
Right.
I don't know. That's a good. That's something you can't really just spurt out. Like, I think that's something you gotta think about. I guess if I go generically and just look at service value, like, yo, go live your life. Don't just dwell in one being. Don't just be the basketball player, the Christian. Go out and see the world, do everything you gotta do, and then when you're ready to get in a relationship, get into one, like, develop friendships. And marry your best friend.
That's good. That's great.
Marry your best friend.
That is great.
Did everybody go? I'm sorry. I got kicked out.
No, that's all right.
It's okay.
Nick, no, everybody didn't go. Can you go? Because I don't still ponder.
Okay. I would say if it feels wrong, it is. If it feels wrong for you, it is. And I would tagline that, if anything feels toxic, leave when it's toxic. Never go toxicity and get back into a gray area. If you know it doesn't feel right for you and it's toxic at that point, just go.
Yeah, I think we should close it on that one. I know. I gotta end that with smack.
That was a message.
I'm glad I let you go before me because I feel like I'm not gonna kill it. Like,
nah, you're gonna hit this. Okay, you're gonna hit. Come on,
you got this.
All right, so I think I just probably want to say patience. Just be patient.
Did you say Haitians?
Patience.
Oh. It's like, don't date Haitians? What's going on?
Run. and I would honestly, seriously say, to my younger self now, just trust the process. Because, like, and I'm going to use my life as an example. I was a teenage mom. I was in a relationship very young and didn't know anything about a relationship, let alone how to be a mom. Okay, so now it's like, now that I am very grown, I actually stopped living the second I became a mom. Like, although I went out and I partied sometimes, and, you know, I was in a relationship with here and there, but I really, mentally, I wasn't mature enough to handle like a serious relationship. And now, because I've dove so much into wanting to be the best teenage mom I could possibly be, that I'm really learning about myself now, like what I like, what I don't like. And I just finally felt like I could let go of just being just a mom. And now, who is Tasha? I'm learning as I go along, but I'm also learning to trust the process. Yeah, you know what? You're over 40. Does that mean you're never going to get married? No, that does not mean that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means it's just your journey is happening and it's time. So don't rush it. Be patient and trust the process.
That's a word. That was good.
Absolutely.
Okay. That was good. Right. I love that. Awesome. That's what I'm talking about.
Fantastic.
Dang, it's a wrap, fam. We did that.
Right. That was good.
Yes, definitely. I want to thank you guys all for listening. We appreciate you, Tribe. You can like, follow, and subscribe and find us on Instagram at Disruptive Innovation Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at Disruptive Innovation Podcast. We're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. So please remember to join the conversation.
Yes.
Peace.
Thank you guys for listening. Terrence, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, yes. Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here, you know.
Gotta come back. You gotta come back. Yes.
We out.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. God bless.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
He's doing it wrong, though.
Damn.
Oh, my God, Ashley.
Nah, I mean, you gotta think about it, though. Like, so if a guy gets into it with a girl, like, he's emotionally involved. Obviously, it's a whole different dynamic. But when a guy get in with a girl and he pillow talking, like, and that's essentially what he doing, he pillow talking.
Oh, most definitely.
That shows you already, you know what I'm saying, that it's something different. He on a whole nother level or something. So
yeah. And I agree 100%.
Most definitely.
Because that's not what it's supposed to be about. And I feel like those are the ones that, especially like if you're friends, then like, yeah, you could trust them. But like if you're just trying to smash, don't be telling her your business.
That's why I say
maybe he felt comfortable.
See, but
that's why I said I feel for him.
But that's the problem.
He got,
but that to
he
me,
got comfortable with her, and then he started talking and telling his business. He felt comfortable enough with her to say stuff like, "Oh, she ain't gonna say nothing." And then she was like, "Yo, TMZ about to get me the racks."
Right. Like, but then, in my opinion, that's where the whole side chick relationship starts to die out. The side chick is just to have a little fun on the side. It's not to have fun permanently and then turn the side chick into the wife, because you can't make a side chick your wife. It's not going to work.
I disagree with that.
But it don't last, because it's more... You disagree? I think that the side chick relationship, what? In my opinion, a side relationship is meant to be on a side. It goes to even with the food. You really not going to get too full off of some mashed potatoes or some broccoli. But you will get full off the, you know, the four-course meal. You're going to get full off the steak. You're going to get full off a whole little seafood boil. But you're not going to get full just off of that one little potato, little piece of corn, little sauce. You understand what I'm saying? So in my
opinion, I'm messing with it.
I feel like the side relationship, it's meant to be on the side. And once you start trying to make that side chick, side dude relationship permanent, it always falls apart, just in my opinion. So what do you people think?
So in a typical situation, yes, you're correct. However, there are instances where the side chick can be the permanent chick and it can work out, i.e. Swiss Beats and Alicia Keys. I'm just going to throw that out there.
That's a good one, though.
All right, you know what, Terrence? I'm very glad that you brought that up, because I sent this to the other two hosts of Disruptive Innovation Podcast, and I told them that I think that they're all three in a throuple.
Wow.
They're too damn close. I don't like it. It makes me nervous. I start to feel, and like I be looking at Alicia Keys like, yo, Alicia Keys is cute. But I be thinking in my head, like, she kind of give me like, she give me stud vibes. Like, she give me like you understand what I'm saying? And I don't like girls.
No.
When I look at Alicia Keys, I'm like, hold on now. She give me a little like a, she give me swaggy young MA. But without
I believe it was a known fact that she used to mess with females. Like, I remember, I remember people saying that they seen her in gay clubs and all that. Like, I definitely think it's known that Alicia Keys messes with women or has previously messed with women.
How does that have to do? What does that have to do with her being a side chick and it's working between her and Swiss?
Now, this is me from just the outside. This is just my assumption. It could be wrong. Okay. But when I see it, I feel like, okay, him and Mashonda, you know, they fell apart, right? Uh-huh. But he ended up getting with Alicia. I feel like the relationship low-key with them could possibly be open. So he get rid of Mashonda, but it's not really like I get rid of her because I'm done. It's kind of like I want to be open, but you ain't really down with that. But then you get Alicia, who cool with it. Then she start buttering Mashonda up, Oh, you're so let's stupid. Let's spend the sun. Why do separate birthday parties? Let's do it together. And then it just
you're crazy. Weird.
Have you ever seen them in a picture together? They be so close. I'm like, are they in a relationship or is she with Swiss Beats?
Oh my God.
It gives me throuple. And I you know what? It's not for me, but I like it.
Yeah, you're crazy, yo.
Okay, enough relationship conspiracy theories, Ashley. Okay,
I'm telling you, they are in a relationship. Tell Nikki, you ain't never seen Alicia Keys and be like, is she, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, I totally get that vibe from her.
I see it, and I don't even think
I understand that. I get that definitely too, but again, she was the side chick who became the main chick, and they worked it out, and they.
Right.
That doesn't mean he don't love her and she don't love him just because they have the open relationship. That's just they found their truth, and if that's what what's happening, then more power for them, you know. But that was a side chick. He got married, had kids. They publicly professed their love for each other and lifting each other up. It's working.
That's one point for Terrence because no matter what, she is the main. She went from the side to the main, so you do get that one.
But like, let's just keep it a buck. I wonder how statistically does that always work out that way?
Niggas don't be cheating with Alicia Keys.
Facts. Facts. And I did say that at the beginning. I said typically you're right. However, there are instances where it does it. And I have a close friend who had similar thing, and I've never seen him more happy in his life.
Got and you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
It
does work sometimes. Most of the time, it don't work out that way.
Yeah.
Nah, you're right. Well, cause, all right. So typically, if you just want something on the side and you dibbling and dabbling, it's because you want a side. So you keep it side to side. But a lot of times, or not a lot of times, but if you're cheating because you're not happy and you actually like this other person, there's a possibility that you can be with this other person. Like, it's a different type of thing.
Yes.
I agree with that.
I agree. It's definitely like your intentions. You looking for the side to get rid of the main, or are you just looking for the side just for a little bit of fun?
I cannot. Ashley said be intentional with your cheating, okay?
Listen, if you're going to do it, I'm going to need you to do it so perfectly to the point where no one knows. Where if it comes out, people are like, what? That is not true.
Are they actually a side then? Wouldn't they just be two? I mean, you could eat at two different restaurants and have two main dishes. Just
saying.
Would that make them a side?
Terrence, one of better. What's your two favorite? I was about to cut off. But what is your two favorite meals? What you like? Steak and what else? What you like?
Chicken.
All right, which one you like better?
I don't know. I can't. That's tough to.
If you had to choose one over the other, what would you choose?
Like
the last thing to eat, you gotta choose one. You can't have both. What you gonna take?
I'm gonna take the chicken. All right.
Told you.